Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. Come on.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John live at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center in St. Joseph, Missouri. Nate Ducati, Marco Marquez, Namdi the intern, and now Tim Grunhard. Are you in Flo-Rida?
I'm in Florida for the last time until probably December. So from now on, Stephen, you and I will be looking at each other across the beautiful 810 WHB console and talking Chiefs football.
Yes, sir.
Very excited.
We can talk Chiefs football right now. I've been up at camp all week. I've got some sound for you to listen to. We've got some topics for you to tackle. And so we're going to have a good hour of talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Missed you on Alumni Day. I saw several of your former teammates up here on Monday, and it was great to see all of them go out there and get in the huddle and listen to the pregame speeches. It looked like Neil Smith was speaking to the team, and saw Daron Cherry out there and Bill Moss and Kendall Gammon and a whole bunch of guys, so it was a good day to start things off on Monday. But it's been a very good week of practice, Timmy. And Carlos Dunlap finally arrived in camp yesterday and had a light practice. It was a 10-10-10 day, and so it was a shorter practice. He didn't do much, but he is here. And so let's start with Carlos Dunlap, because I'm going to play a clip from him. But first, tell me your excitement about having this veteran who for the last 10 years has had at least 6 sacks in every season.
Yeah, so I think you're going to put some of the stuff on that Spags was talking about. Man, I can't agree more with what Spags had to say about Carlos Dunlap and really the effect it's going to have on Carlos, which, according to Spags, he's like a sponge out there. He's taking all the information and taking it the right way and asking all the right questions and picking the brains of the veteran guys. And you know what? We talked about it last week right here on 810 WHB on the best program in the morning, the Border Patrol. And you guys talked about, hey, you know, what kind of effect is Carlos Dunlap going to have on this team? And we talked a little bit about this, and the guy has a nose for sacking the quarterback. And Spags talks about it a little bit. I'm not trying to preempt Spags real quick, but he, you know, we talked about it last week that he just has a knack of sacking the quarterback. There's a lot of guys out there, gentlemen, that can get to the quarterback. There's a lot of guys out there that are fast. There's a lot of guys out there that have great technique and fundamentals, but just can't sack the quarterback. Carlos Dunlap has shown over his career with 96 sacks and averaging more than 6 sacks a season that he knows how to get there, and he knows how to get it done. So, number one, there's a guy that has proven in a track record of getting to the quarterback, which I think is going to help this defense because, let's face it, last year there was a drought when it came to quarterback sacks. Number two, there's a guy that's great in the room. Each unit is broken up into a room. You have your defensive line room, your offensive line room, running back room, quarterback room, wide receiver room, defensive back room, linebackers, and so on. And that defensive line group has gotten better because they got a guy in there that not only knows how to get to the quarterback, but also is willing to work and help these younger guys to learn how to do that too, because there's a knack to it. And Spags said there's a lot of want to in getting to the quarterback, but I think even more than that, there's a knack to getting to the quarterback. So I'm really glad that he's there. I'm glad that he was able to, get into camp. He talked about some other teams that he looked at, but this was the best situation. So I'll let you play the sound, and then, there's a couple other things that I thought were interesting in what Spags had to say yesterday. I thought yesterday was the best day that Spags had in front of the media. Gave a lot of great information, was very entertaining. And the one thing you know about when Spags gets up there is he's going to be a straight shooter. There's not a lot of coach talk in that. And, listen, sometimes you got to do that. That's part of the game. But Spags does a really good job of giving really good in-depth information about his team and his squad and his side of the ball. And I enjoy listening to him every time I hear him.
Okay, let's play Spags number two. Here's what Steve Spagnuolo had to say about Carlos Dunlap.
What were some of the main factors that led to your decision to sign with the Chiefs?
What were some of the main factors?
That's not Steve Spagnuolo.
That's you.
Let's hear Steve Spagnuolo, number two, talking about Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, I think he's done it for a long time, and the system he was in Cincinnati all those years was kind of conducive to him. Mike Zimmer had him for a long time, and what they were doing, it was a four-down system, call it what you want. I mean, we're multiple now, so we're in a couple of different things, but I think he functions well outside. We talked to him about playing inside. We'll see where that goes. I'm not really sure. I want to get him comfortable at one spot first. But again, I go back to the length, and he knows how to get to the quarterback. I mean, sometimes that's just innate. I always say 70% of pass rushers want to.
Okay, so that's Spags talking about Carlos Dunlap. Let's play Carlos Dunlap number 16. I want Timmy to hear this. This is Carlos Dunlap talking about some of the meetings with Chiefs coaches that he had leading up to the signing of a contract.
Oh, yeah. That was another thing that showed the importance of, them wanting me to get here because it's obviously camp. I landed at, 10:30, got here at like 11:30, and the whole staff was here. They had all the things that I wanted to get answered, question. Each one of them spent time with Coach Reed one-on-one eating pizza. Then we went in there with Spags and Coach Cullen, watched some tape, basically showed me where I would be, the defense they run, how they call it, his rhythm, and I liked where I fit. So, that morning I signed, yeah. So clearly that night was worth it to them and worth it to me, and clearly them taking that initiative to do it in camp, knowing, it's early days. Like today I was woken up at 6 in the morning for a drug test, and, I didn't have to be up till 9. So, I know they have early mornings, so that was pretty dope for them to take that time to answer my questions and take that initiative to, get me here.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute, because there's some recruiting going on there. And I thought, Nate, I'm sure that you thought that was pretty interesting as well. Carlos Dunlap gets here or lands at 10:30, makes a drive up here, gets here at 11:30. The entire coaching staff's waiting for him. He has pizza. He has a midnight pizza. It's a midnight pizza with Andy Reid. And then Spags is waiting for him. Right.
By the way, that was not the Veggie Delight pizza that they were having. You know what I mean? That was a Meat Lover's pizza.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But so he has midnight pizza with Andy Reid. Then they take him with Spags, and they watch film. And Spags shows him where he can fit in on the defense. And then he's talking to defensive line coach Joe Cullen. And so they show him, what they want him to do and how he could fit into the defense, and because he had some other teams pursuing him, and then, with the money and everything else, he decides, okay, this is where I want to play, and he's on the practice field the next morning. Timmy, tell me what you think when you hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was a point of emphasis for the Kansas City Chiefs to get him here and signed and be a part of this team. I mean, I don't care who you are, 11:30 at night is still late. Especially in training camp. I mean, the best commodity that you can have during training camp is sleep. And, so the coaches were up waiting for him. He said that he had pizza with Coach Reed at 11:30 at night. I'm sure that there was no carbs involved in that late-night meal. Then meeting with the other coaches and sitting down with Spags. And here's the beauty of it. And once again, Spags, I don't think he can help himself. And I think it's really enduring for him to do this, is that, he just tells it the way it is. not many coaches, guys, out there. And believe me, I've been around a lot of them, and I've heard a lot of them talk, would say that, you know what, we want him outside, but we're going to take a look at him inside and see how it goes. We want him to feel comfortable in one position. That just is great information that, you know, hey, you know, there's some things that we may do with him to move him inside to help our pass rush and third down and long situations. We see him, playing some first and second down stuff outside, maybe moving him inside and third down, or maybe a little bit of, you know, switch that around where first and second down he's inside and working some twists and some stunts and some slants and stemming a little bit with some movement inside with Chris Jones, which I think could be devastating to any zone run blocking scheme. So that's great information. And listen, you're right. It's recruiting. You have to recruit nowadays. The number one thing that guys want, first of all, is they want to get paid. Okay, let's just face the facts. So he figured that the Chiefs had enough money under the cap that they could take care of him. So that was the first thing he checked off. Number two, am I going to play? How much time am I going to get? And there's some sound later on of Carlos Dunlop saying, listen, I don't want to be a one-trick pony where I don't want to just play third downs, which I think eventually they may get to something similar to that, you know, towards the end of the year when, listen, he's over 30 and the 30 is the magic number. And, you get worn down in game 13, 14, 15, and 16, and then 17 in the playoffs. So maybe they'll put him in some passing situations, a third down situation, just to kind of save his legs a little bit. But he said the right things. He wants to play all the downs. He wants to play first, second, and third down. And then the last thing is the guys want to win. And I'm sure that the first person that he met with the next morning, because I promise you Patrick Mahomes wasn't up at 11:30 waiting for him to give him a piece of pizza, that the first person he met with the next morning was Patrick Mahomes. And because Patrick Mahomes is the leader of that team, Patrick Mahomes is the key. Patrick Mahomes is the driver of that Ferrari offense and that team. And, you meet with him, and, he talks about, hey, listen, we need you to come here. We got a great chance to win it again. And by the way, I promise you, are you ready for this? Patrick Mahomes brought up, hey, we get to play the Cincinnati Bengals at least once and maybe twice. Oh, and by the way, didn't they trade you before you had an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl with the Bengals? So you're there for all those crap years, and then they trade you, and then they go to the Super Bowl. Payback's a bitch, baby. Let's go get them. And I think a lot of that had to do with why he signed right away and why he's now a Kansas City Chief.
Hey, I mentioned that a little bit earlier. Play number 17 when I asked him about facing Russell Wilson. And listen to what he says there at the end.
You played with Russell Wilson the last couple of years. You excited to go up against him since now he's with the Denver Broncos to get you cracks at him this year?
I definitely have looked at the schedule. Russ is my guy. There's no personal vendetta versus him, but he's on the other side, so I have a job to do just as well as he does. But there's a lot of things on that schedule that I liked and played into my decision as well. So looking forward to getting after it.
He's talking about Cincinnati, playing at Cincinnati. So
yeah, and I mean, that's important.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean,
it is important,
right? So, and I think it's important for the Kansas City Chiefs. One of the things that last year, not only did Patrick Mahomes play poorly in the second half, but they didn't need to get any pressure on the quarterback. Burrow was sitting in that pocket pretty clean, and that needs to be addressed. So, that's an area that the Chiefs made a point of emphasis, and I think they took care of it. You know, Frank Clark looks good, lost some weight, has made some life changes, and let's hope that equates into better play. Dunlop, Karloftis, Jones. That's a pretty formidable defensive line if everything holds serve.
Okay, the other good news from camp this week was Orlando Brown Jr. Showed up at camp, and Andrew Wiley, his teammate on the offensive line, was in the tent yesterday, and I asked him about Orlando showing up.
To the room to have Orlando report to camp and not hold out.
Well, it's awesome, man. It's completely different energy out there with Orlando, man. He is a big source of energy on the O-line and the team. So, you know, it's great having him back.
Andrew, can you elaborate on that? Why is he a big source of energy? What you see from him?
You guys see, I mean, he's literally huge, and then he's always smiling, you know what I mean? So, and he's talkative. He does that. He vocalizes in the huddle. He gets everybody's energy up, kind of like the Travis Kelce type that's been doing it for years. So, yeah, he's just a great source of energy on the offense.
Okay, so one more from Andrew Wiley. He was asked about what he worked on during the offseason to try to improve his game.
Yeah, I'm very critical, as we all are in the O-line room, as is Coach Heck when he's critiquing us. So there's a numerous amount of things that I continue to, in the offseason to work on and still working on every day in camp. Staying square, shooting the right hand, you know, specifically targeting the part of the body that you want to punch. But, yeah, very, very critical of ourselves as we all are in the O-line room.
It seems like, you know, fans and media have been looking for a different right tackle for a while. And, you know, Kennard, there's been no talk of Kennard unseating Andrew Wiley anytime soon up here. And, you know, Lucas Niang is not healthy yet. He's not ready to go. So Andrew Wiley just keeps plugging along, Timmy. And he looks like he's, at least for the first part of the season, he's going to continue to be the right tackle.
Yeah, and I like what he said, the things that he worked on, because I totally agree. When you watch his game, when he struggles in pass protection, he opens the gate a little bit too quick, which means on his pass set, if you're the right tackle, you open up that right foot, and then the next on your second or third step that you open the gate, which means you drop your foot back and you turn your shoulders and you give a short short corner for a defensive lineman, which I think a lot of times, especially in the AFC West, guys are relying on speed. And if you open that door up and let that short corner present itself, they're going to take it. Also, I agree with him that at times, especially in the run game, his hands were outside. And at the right tackle position, you got to be a mauler. And you got to have your hands inside. And at times last year, he let guys get in his chest and didn't get a lot of push and actually – you know, cause a stalemate at the point of attack, which you can't have, especially in the zone run game, because now you're choosing the direction for your running back. One of the things that you have to do as an offensive lineman is to give the running back a two-way street. You never turn. You got to stay square. You got to get some push. Even if it's a yard or two of push, that gives that running back an opportunity to make a cut. That gives an opportunity for that running back to either go inside or outside. And if you're giving up penetration, or you're not getting pushed at the line of scrimmage, or because your hand placement isn't right, your body is turning, then you're only giving that running back a one-way go. And that just doesn't work. I don't care if it's high school or college or pros. You know, those linebackers and the pursuit from the backside will catch you every time if you are playing tackle and you're turning and you're giving them a one-way go, so you can't do that. So I think a lot of the things that he talked about are things that he has to work on. Let's see if he can do it. Hey, the right tackle position is the weakness of the offensive line. There's always going to be one weakness. And if there's only one weakness, you can take care of it. That's why it's so important that Orlando Brown came into camp. Because if Orlando Brown wasn't in camp, now you have two weaknesses. You have two weaknesses on the edges, which you can't live with in the NFL. Now you really have one weakness. And listen, that doesn't mean he's a bad football player. Listen, he's an NFL starter. He's a good football player. But, you know, if there was one guy that you would say is the guy that maybe a little bit behind the rest of them, it would be Wiley. So, you know, he's got some things to work on. And I know Andy Heck. Andy Heck is a technician. And Andy Heck, what he is saying, what Andrew Wiley said is exactly what Andy Heck told him to work on. And I agree wholeheartedly with what Andy said and with what Mitch said. If he could work on those things, you know, just try to correct one of those things a week. In training camp, you know, you got 5 or 6 days to work on it. You know, this week I would say, okay, this week I'm going to work on getting my head across on zone blocking. I got to get my head across that one technique, and I got to, you know, make sure he doesn't penetrate up the field. If I can get my head across, once again, I can give that running back a two-way go and flatten him out, and that running back can either go front side or he could cut right off my block, go backside. So I would always say, okay, my point of emphasis this week is I want to work on this technique. And then next week, say, hey, I want to work on my pass protection. I want to work on staying square or throwing, you know, when you're playing center position, if a guy lines up on your snap hand, you got to give a little bit of ground to gain your leverage and to gain kind of your footing, because that guy's right on there. You're a one-armed man for a second. But if he's on your left side and you snap with your right hand, then you could throw that hand really quick into that chest and get your hand on him quick, and then, you know, you're a little bit ahead of the game. So then the next week I would say, okay, I'm going to work on these pass protection techniques that I have on the right side, give a little bit of ground to gain ground. And on the left side, if the guy's on the left side, I'm going to throw my hand inside, get my hips across, and get my head back and try to sit down and drive the car, which means get your hands inside and just steer the guy either one way or another and just do not let him penetrate and do not get pushed back. So you work on those little things. And I think you're seeing by what he said that those are the things that he needs to work on. And I think he'll do a good job working on that. But I agree with you. I mean, right now we have Andrew Wiley at tackle. It may or may not be the best right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, but that's what we have.
Tim Grunhardt is our guest. We'll be right back after this on WHB. WHB. Stephen St. John, live in St. Joe at the Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center. Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez and Namdi the intern back in Kansas City, and Tim Grunhardt in Florida. This damn show goes all over the place. I wonder, Tim Grunhardt, if you'd like to hear anything from this stud rookie wide receiver, Sky Moore, who's turning some heads up here.
I would love to hear from Sky Moore. And then real quick, I want to talk a little bit about the first 3 days of practice and then yesterday's practice, which is the Andy Reid way. We'll talk about that here in a second. But, yeah, let's hear what Sky had to say. Sky, I'm looking forward to this kid, man. I think he's going to be a superstar. I really do.
Ask Nate about his legs.
Nate, what's his legs look like?
He's got like one step beyond soccer player legs, which is, you know, usually soccer players are completely skin and bones up top, but they got these big tree trunk thighs. He's got like bigger than tree trunk thighs. I don't know what you call. I mean, they're rippling. And he wears the short shorts too, so you can see the rippling quadriceps muscles and everything as he's running down the field.
Yes, yes, yes.
Was that descriptive enough for you, Stephen?
Very, very specific.
Are you saying that Sky shows more?
Wow,
he sure does in the interview tent. Okay, so Dave Tobe told us earlier that this week that Isaiah Pacheco right now is getting first crack at being kick returner, and Mecole Hardman, they'll have to scale him back at some point because he's a bigger part of the offense, so they're taking a look at Trent McDuffie and also Sky Moore, even though Sky Moore's never done it before. So I asked Sky Moore about punt returning.
Coach Hope said, looking at you as a punt returner, how are you getting acclimated to that?
Yeah, really just I haven't really done it too much in game in college. So it's really just getting a feel for when I can take it, when I got a fair catch, and just doing the fundamentals of catching the punt. So it's going good, though.
What about, like, jet sweeps, things like that? Is that something you did a lot of in high school, college?
Yeah, I've always been that type of player, just to, you know, that's, like, at the beginning stages of coming in, I feel like always is the jet sweeps. I'm always getting the jet sweeps. So it's nothing new for real.
What do you like maybe about those particular plays, maybe more so than route running?
I like getting, you know, just getting the ball fast. The faster you can get the ball, the faster you can make something happen with it. So that's what I like about those plays.
All right, here's Sky Moore says he knows when you're a wide receiver for the Chiefs, you just got to keep on running.
Man, that's like with Pat, you're not getting underthrown here. So, you know, we're just a bunch of minions out there running.
There's the minions out there running for Patrick Mahomes. That's right. Banana? Football? And so here, Sky Moore was asked who he's been leaning on for help during camp.
It's really everybody. I lean on the whole room. Just if I got a question, everybody's open to answer, and we all bounce each other's ideas off each other. So, you know, Juju, MVS, McCole, Cornell, like everybody, we're just helping each other.
I asked Sky Moore about his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy.
How would you describe Eric Bieniemy as a coach and a coordinator after working with him for a while now?
He's going to demand the best out of you, and that's my favorite type of coach. Just you know what I can do, and I know what I can do, and sometimes it might get hard, but he's going to get it out of you, and that's what I love about him.
All right, Jesse Newell asked Guy Moore about his interactions with Patrick Mahomes in the film room.
Yeah, actually, we're about to go to a meeting right now, and I sit, like, right behind him. So, like, whenever I got a question, I just go tap him real quick, you know what I'm saying? Like, just, and he's always able to whisper the answer to me or, like, how he wants things done. So I try to stay close to him.
How beneficial are those just mini conversations as you try to learn this thing?
Oh, well, he probably don't even know it, but, like, I'll take things and run with it. Like, he'll say things that I really, like, try to harp on, like, all right, I got to get to the alley this practice. Last practice, I didn't do that, but it's very beneficial.
Here's Guy Moore. Oh, go ahead, Timmy.
No, I love it. I think he's kind of talking about what we talked about last segment. Is, hey, listen, you know, and that's what you do it in camp. I mean, you find a couple things that you need to work on. You find some things that the coaches are kind of, you know, trying to correct you on. And you work on those little things. And right there, as Guy Moore said, you know, I got to work on, you know, running the alley or you know, finishing my routes or whatever. And so today I'm going to work on this. Tomorrow I'll work on that. And that's kind of what Andrew Riley needs to do, and what he said he was going to do too. And that's a good sign for Chiefs players and the Chiefs staff, and really for the Chiefs fans. He's going to work on a specific thing that they need to get done in training camp, and that's what it's all about. That's what training camp is. You got 4 or 5 weeks of working on the things that you need to do to get yourself to be a better football player, to help your football team, and to win football games.
Spags said Karloftis is like a sponge. You've got Sky Moore sitting behind Patrick Mahomes in the film room, peppering him with questions. That's good stuff from the rookies.
Yeah.
Here, Sky Moore was asked about what it's like to watch Travis Kelce on the practice field.
Yeah, like before I came here, I knew Travis was like the best tight end in the league. But now I'm seeing why. You know what I'm saying? It's about how patient and savvy he is through his route running, and he's very smart. So it's like he's not really working too much harder, he's working smarter. He's knowing, like, oh, there's a dude out there, I'm gonna give a move this way and then just hook up. You know, so it's like, it's a knowledge, the knowledge that he has about the game makes him an even better route runner.
And finally, I asked Guy Moore about going up against his fellow rookies that are cornerbacks here in camp.
Scott, how are you rookie corners in your draft class?
Yeah.
What's it been like going up against those fellow rookies every day in practice?
It's been a battle. Each one of them. So they're tall, they're long, fast. So you know, I'm not the biggest guy. So you know, those are the guys that I'm coming with my A game with, and it's just been a battle for every single one of them.
Sky Moore's been turning heads up here in camp, Timmy.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Competition's what makes you great. And hey, I mentioned the Andy Reid way, and one of the things that Andy does to mold his team, to create the team that he wants in training camp, and I contend probably even during the week and practice during the season, is that the Andy way is to work guys really hard, and then when he takes a break physically, he's going to test you mentally. And that's the Andy Reid way, and that's what a football game is. Everybody feels pretty good and feels really fresh, and everybody can think clearly in the beginning of a football game, the first quarter, the second quarter. But when you get into the third quarter and you're tired and you're beat up and you know, you got to dig in, you got to take some of that effort out of the bank and kind of cash it in that you've deposited during training camp or during the summer, you know, you got to be able to find that. And that's what Andy Reid gives those guys an opportunity to take some of that stuff out of the bank, all that work that they've done, and withdraw that from their deposits of working during training camp and during the summer. So, you know, the Andy Reid way is to work guys really hard and then test them mentally. If you can't handle it mentally when you're tired, if you can't handle it mentally when you're worn down or you're not feeling at 100%, then Andy Reid doesn't want you out there. And we've seen this over the years that the Kansas City Chiefs have been able to come back in football games and win football games, not only because Patrick Mahomes, but because everybody's kind of firing on the same same cylinders and everybody's on the same page. So let's look at this week as a microcosm of that theory. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you were out there, right? It was hot, and it was full pads, and it was 2 hours and 30 minutes of practice. They worked on 9-on-7, which is a really hard drill. They did one-on-ones with the offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, running backs, wide receivers, and cornerbacks, which is a very physical, taxing drill. So they worked really, really hard on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. So what was yesterday? You mentioned it. It was the 10, 10, and 10 day. So when the 10, 10, and 10 day is a mental day. So if people out there don't realize it, so, you know, what you do is the offense will have three series of 10 plays, and I believe that the offense worked on, I have it written down in the past, a deep passing game, some run game situations that had to do with some four-minute offense of running the clock out at the end of the game. And then they get some converting of third down situations under duress. The defense worked on red zone, obviously, because they were working the deep ball, that they were working their deep coverage situations. And they were also working on run defense and sitting and making sure they're in the right spot and making sure that there wasn't any seams or any issues, so everybody was in the right spot mentally and not particularly physically. And then in special teams, they worked on punts, backed up punts, punt coverage. And at that point, that's when Sky Moore was working on his, you know, catching the punt and working on those little things. But yesterday was a mental day. So that fits into what Andy Reid likes to do. How does he form his team? He works you really hard a couple of days in a row. And now he's going to test you mentally. Can you, when you're tired, when you're beat up, when you don't feel like maybe doing as much, can you dig down both physically and mentally to perform at your highest level? And I promise you, Kansas City, and I said this yesterday on Crunch Time, and I'll say it here this morning, I promise you that film from Thursday is being scrutinized as much, if not more, than anything else that happened during the week. Why? Because Andy wants to see how these guys are going to react when they're tired and they're sore and they're beat up and they're going through the dog days of training camp. Did they lose their techniques? Did they lose their fundamentals? Did they have missed assignments and mental errors? Was their mind able to catch up even though their body was tired? And that's the Andy Reid way. That's why he's a great coach. That's why they win a lot of football games. That's why they win in the fourth quarter, is because he tests these guys all the time by challenging them physically and then giving them a test mentally. And if you can do that, if you can get through that, then you're going to win football games. And I promise you, you can be the biggest, fastest, strongest guy out there, but if you can't perform mentally when you're tired, Andy Reid will cut your ass on the spot.
Easy, Timmy. Hey, Timmy, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about something that you've got going on with Central High School, a project that you're working on. Tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So earlier in the week, you know, Twitter's good and bad. You guys know that. I mean, Nate, you know it more than anybody else. You're like,
yeah, he does more than anyone. Trust me.
You know, we're both opinionated guys, and, you know, some people don't like our opinions, and that's kind of what happens. But so KC Varsity Combines, which is a great Twitter account, kind of tagged me and said, hey, listen, we are trying to figure out a way to help out the football players at Central High School in Kansas City, which is part of the Interscholastic League. Coach DJ Patel, who we both know, Stephen, we've known him a long time. He worked with me when I was at St. Pius. He was the first guy that I hired at MEAGE when I took the head coaching job. He's now the head coach at Central High School in Kansas City. So one of the things that he's done over the years is he's asked his kids to, listen, have a little bit of pride on game day, to be an example of leadership in the school, and to show team unity and teamwork by dressing up for game day. And, you know, they ask the guys to, you know, put a dress shirt on and a tie and wear a pair of slacks, and you separate yourself a little bit. It's a business day. It's a work day. And, you know, you go into the school, and the guy, people look up to you because, you know, not only you're a part of the football team, but, you know, you're representing your school and you're representing yourself, you're representing your family by wearing a nice shirt and a tie to school, and it's a nice look for the kids. Well, they were having some issues. A lot of the kids couldn't afford to buy the shirts and buy the ties. So I said, listen, DJ, and the guys from KC Varsity Combine, I'm going to try and help you out. So I brought it to the attention of the ambassadors and the Kansas City Chiefs Ambassador Program. You know, the Chiefs are basically the yay or nay when it comes to a lot of the things that we do out there. And it just, you know, we couldn't get it quite done quick enough through the Chiefs Ambassador Program, because of 501c3 rules and everything else. So, and the Chiefs really wanted to do it, but that's part of the law. It's part of the deal of once you sign a contract, you know, with a 501c3, the monies that are donated a lot of times need to go to other 501c3. So this isn't obviously one of those things. So the guys themselves, the Chiefs ambassadors, stepped up. And I can't tell you how proud I am of the guys. Everybody starting last night donated $100. We probably have $1,500 to $2,000 donated just from the guys. And we're going to go out and we're going to find a way to get these kids a dress shirt and a tie before their first game so they can wear it. And also with some of the monies, we have extra Mike Maslowski, who is part of the has a company with sportswear. Said, listen, I think with the extra money we have, we might be able to get them some bags so they can put their stuff in a bag when they go on their way trip. So I'm just really happy and so proud of the ambassadors. I'm so proud of the ambassador program. I'm so proud of Kansas City Chiefs. That's our mission. That's what we're all about. The Kansas City Chiefs ambassadors, and we love helping out a lot of these different charities. But when it really comes down to it, we're football players trying to help other football players. And there's a fraternity when it comes to football players. I don't care if you're playing on Sundays, Saturdays, or Fridays. There's a fraternity. And our fraternity, the guys that played on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs, have stepped up to help the kids that are in any city school so they can have some pride, so they can walk around and feel good about themselves on a game day on a Friday. So just really happy that our fraternity and our mission was able to help out these kids. And I have a meeting today with Sean Barber, who's the president of the ambassadors, and DJ Patel, who is the head coach, and we're going to try and get this thing put to bed. But I can't tell you how happy I am to give these kids an opportunity to have a sense of pride when they walk into school on Friday morning to go play a football game Friday night. So thanks to all the ambassadors. Unbelievable job by the guys. And that's what it's all about. I'm just so proud of being a Kansas City Chief for a lot of reasons. But this really does make my heart jump for joy to be able to help other kids, other football players, to have a great experience on a game day.
Timmy, that's awesome, man. DJ, a good friend of mine, and, of course, always glad to hear you doing great things in the community. So that's awesome for you, the ambassadors, for DJ, and all the kids there with the Central High School football team. Timmy, next week in person, we're getting ready. We'll be talking about the Chiefs and the Bears at noon the next day. How about that?
Oh, all my right? God.
Done. Wait, deal.
Bears, my second favorite team.
That's right, Timmy. But the Chiefs are your number one favorite team in your heart. Tim, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's Tim Grunhard. We'll take a break, wrap things up after this on WHB. Yo, thanks for listening all week long. I'll be back in Kansas City on Monday. Nappy Katie, what you got with Sporting Kansas City this weekend?
Sporting KC plays against the LA Galaxy at home tomorrow night. I've hooked our guy Namdi up with tickets for his entire family to come to the game, and they'll get to see fellow Nigerian Willie Agata, hopefully, in the starting lineup. So that'll be fun.
On Monday, I got to hear what Namdi says about the game.
That's right. I got to hope he scores a goal for Sporting. They need one. They haven't scored a goal in four games at home. It's crazy.
I got to hope my back stops hurting. Please. I got treatment at 10:45. How about that? Better than the treatment I've received on this show, I can tell you that. You guys, meeting me. It's fine, though. I'm back in the saddle on Monday. You guys excited? Oh, I'm going to have my spurs on. How about that? My chaps.
Saddle up, partner.
I will. I can't wait. Ride the painted pony. Oh, I'm slap happy. Get me the hell out of here. Everyone have a great weekend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.